Genesis chapter 2. And last week we launched into, I believe, an encouragement for us. And the encouragement of the Lord is always vital. Amen. And I thank God that, you know, the line upon line and the lines between the lines. And it's just amazing the pattern of what's being woven in the lives of those that will know the will of God. They'll know the gospel. They'll know the doctrine. And so we launched into this study on some of the Gentile brides in the Word of God. And last week we started with Eve. And if you missed last Wednesday's Bible study, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. And if you were here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. I think that there were a lot of things there that the Lord is re-encouraging in our lives. And then, you know, He's always has something readied for you to hear. And I thank the Lord that there's always something more that the Holy Ghost will show, another facet of the diamond, another view of the beauty of the bride for Jesus and what He wants you to be to Him. That's what's beautiful. I mean, I'm so thankful to God. As that Shulamite finally said, I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. I mean, that, you know, after all of that love affair going back and forth, I mean, really, that just summed it all up. She was just stunned. Wow, you really do love me. Your desire, your passion for me, everything about who you are is for me. And it's mighty, and mighty that we're loved that way and cared for that way and encouraged that way. And as you begin to really open yourself up to hearing the Word of God, you'll know this. It will be yours. You will hear what the Spirit saith to you. You'll hear it, and you'll hear Him ready you, and it'll be through the Word of God. But that intro that we had, it brought us deeper meanings. I'm so thankful to God that we see right off the gate in the Word of God that that the Lord's going to have a bride, that Jesus is going to have a wife, that wife is going to come out from amongst the family of God. It's evident throughout the Word of God, whether it's Rebecca, and as we see this with Eve in this study, we saw that that woman was taken out of Adam, out of a rib portion while he was sleeping. And then we went on and we saw the depths of even the name Gentile, the meanings of it from last week, and how the whole focus of this in this age that we live in is that the Lord longs for us to be joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. He longs for us to be glorified together with Him as His wife. And we rejoiced in that rib portion last week. And thinking again about the rib and how many deep meanings are in that word. You know, that word in the Hebrew is so amazing how God uses that word over and over throughout the Old Testament. And we saw how it was intricate in the temple and the tabernacle and in the altar and then also in the ark. And it's just amazing how God speaks to us in so many different ways. Wake up. This is what I think about you. This is how deep my love is for you. You know, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Well, they're endless. They're more than the sands of the sea. They're more than the stars in the heaven or His thoughts to you. And I thank God we know that, that it's this great love story that He has. Now, we saw the incredible metaphors of blossoming of the Word of God that Christ saw for us in ages past. And I think we'll continue to have these things revealed to us. So again, as we go in tonight, Lord, open my heart. Wake me up to hear, again, what the Spirit saith to the churches. So let's begin tonight in chapter 2, verse 20. And it said there again, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we left off there in verse 22 where it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now I really want you to hear some of these words again tonight. And these will be different things and different thoughts of what we went on into last week. But notice there it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, brothers and sisters, as you read that there, it says that she was taken, or this, she was taken from man. And it's not an individual at that time. It doesn't say that she was taken from the man, but she was taken from the body of man. Once again, these things are very detailed and intricate. And I'm not trying to over-examine something you never could in the Word of God. But I want you to see here once again that this is taken out of the body of Christ. And she's taken from the body. She's taken from man. She's taken from the number of saints. But then notice, she's not brought back to a man. She's brought back to the man. And it's beautiful. Because when she is taken from, it's from the body. But when she is taken back, she's taken back to him. And she now is woman. And we're going to go into that in a minute, what that wonderful woman and the meaning of that woman is. But see this for what it is, brothers and sisters. She is brought back to the man. She's brought back to Jesus, the man, her husband. So you see that? There's just little things in here that if you just let him speak to you, you'll see it just continues to grow. It's the same truth. There's no new truth. But it grows, and it's like, again, here's another way that I'm saying it. And here's another way that I'm saying it. And it says, I've said so many different times, and I thank God how he graced my life. And I know my life had before ordained good works that I should walk therein. And I received a whole slew of love letters. And I'm so thankful I did for my wife over the years, praise God. And I didn't want just one. And that was before the age of the iPhone and cell phones. And my dad didn't want to keep buying stock in AT&T, you know. So we had to write letters and put a postage stamp. Can you imagine? And that's how you got to know somebody. But I remember literally as our love grew and encouraged, it wasn't that those letters grew further apart. They grew more recent. Matter of fact, that letters would come daily. Isn't that with us in the Word of God? You go to it daily. You go to it moment by moment. And he's always there with those letters. But will you take them? It's kind of like, will you go to the mailbox? Will you get them? You know, don't just let them build up. They're there. You want to really be encouraged in life? You want to have a real purpose and a reason to live? Know how much Jesus loves you. And just thank him for it. And then you realize over and over again as you grow in that love, you do not go by feeling. You go by what he says. What he says is all that matters. So whatever my barometric reading is doesn't matter one bit. I thank God. He's going to bring me through different phases of however this body feels. He chose to put me in this body. And all of us have a feeling body, and some of us feel different. Some of us are more down, some more hyper, some more just, you know, monotone, whatever it may be. But I'll tell you what, the word's the word. Let that word work in there, and it'll get that thumper heart going, and it will encourage you as you go along. And you'll understand his word is true, and his word is always, and his word never changes. And it's always, I love you. And I need to hear that over and over, and I'm thankful to God that he gives it to me. So it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, that we see this because Jesus is seen in the Word of God, in a sense, his body is the entire body of saints. But then Jesus is always also seen as one. So to some, we know that he's Savior. I should say to all of the children of God, he's Savior. But then he also becomes a dear friend to some. But then to very few, he'll become bridegroom. It's, again, how do you know the Lord? How much will we grow up in Christ? Amen? That's why the word of the Lord, we're all born babes in the Lord. We're all born babies. Amen? But the word of God, the whole emphasis of the word of God for the children of God is to grow up. Tells us that it's wonderful. We're all going to start with milk, but he wants us to get off of milk, and he wants us to go on to strong meat. The word of God says that. He wants us to feast on all truth. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen? Like he said very clearly to the disciples, he said, after 3.5 years with them, think of that, Jesus, day and night with you, 3.5 years. But man, there's many things I want to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Ghost, comes, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus wants us to know him. Most importantly and specifically, he said, Jesus wants us to know the love of his heart. The love, the passion, the immensity of the love. Amen? So it's growing up, and throughout the word of God, so many different stories, so many different ways, he tells us to grow up. He says for us to put away childish things, to become the mature sons of God, to grow up into him in all things. So once again, however far we will allow the word of God to develop in our lives to grow us up is what we'll enjoy and appreciate with him. That's what we see him as. Praise God, every child of God sees him as Savior. You have to see that he died for you. And that's Savior, praise the Lord. And we thank God for that. But then from there, the word of the Lord comes and you begin to understand, I think very quickly, that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I love that friend that always is encouraging me. And then that Savior too that brought me the Father in that intimacy of how much a dad loves you. And how much he's for you, and how he gave you everything. Matter of fact, he gave you the only begotten to be born of him. Amazing. Just the story of God, like I say, it's not of man, it's of God. But then to see the glory of his grace, that from the very beginning it was not good for man to live alone, that Jesus Christ will have his wife. Yeah, just wonderful. So this is this transformation that happens. All because of the will of God and those that will. Let him do it, praise God, and that's grow up. But then, as we go on in that same verse, notice it says, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Now, once again, the word choice of God is outstanding. You'd say no duh or amen, right, amen. I love that. I think it's awesome. But it is, it's just, you know, you'd say, okay, well, why does he choose that word? Well, you know why he does, because he loves you. He's always going to expound how much he loves you, how all-powerful he is, but yet how all-intimate he is. And, you know, this heart of God, as his word comes forth here, you know that he's God, but you know also that he became a man. See, he knows us. He knows what we need to hear because he was made one of us. That's the amazing thing. And the word is speaking in that to us, even in the very beginning. Isn't it marvelous? It gives me chills to think. That's how deep and wise his love is. Wise his love is to us. He knows how to get our hearts, doesn't he? Isn't it wonderful? And as we go into this, and again, this is what the Spirit does, is he opens our heart. But this word brought, it means the harvest brought to the house of the husband. Isn't that wonderful? That word doesn't just mean, as we would just read, brought. It means the harvest brought to the house of the husband. Well, we could go to many different places in the Word of God and rejoice in that. But let's just move on over to Song of Solomon. And let's read what the bridegroom in the 4th chapter of Song of Solomon said about his beloved. In verse 12, it says to her, a garden enclosed. Is my sister my spouse? I always love that. Isn't that wonderful? It just covers of this double portion of what the bride is to the bridegroom. She's his sister, praise God, in the Lord. We know that. And praise God if we'll grow up into him in all things, not only a sister, but a spouse. How marvelous this encouragement that we have right there. It's just like to the Father. There's a double portion. I can be a son. Hallelujah. If I'm born again, I'm a son. Praise God. But then, if I allow that transformation to continue to happen in my life, not only a son, but a daughter-in-law as his son's wife. It's marvelous. Praise God. People just shake their heads and say, oh, well, how did that be? Just read the Word of God. Quit in your mind and get into the Word of God. And remember, these are metaphors. These are types and shadows to what the Lord has for us. This is what I can understand. What he has prepared for them that love him. And I'll tell you what, I love Jesus. I really do. I thank God that we love him. And it's just because he first loved us. Amen. We know that. I wasn't looking for him. He found me. Praise God. I know that. But in that, praise God, that is that wonderful encouragement that what I am for him. But it says there, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Do you understand now what a harvest she is that has been brought to the house of the husband? That's who she is. My goodness, I'll tell you what, that was a mighty harvest right there, would you not say? We're talking trees and spices and fruits and pomegranates. Man, we got it all because we got him. And that's what we are to him. So you see this theme of from the very beginning, this is what you are to me. You're everything. You're my fruit. You're just the beauty of it all, the fullness of again, in that fruitfulness, speaking of a husband and wife. So Eve, let's get back to that. So Eve there was presented to Adam from his rib. And what was she presented as? His glory. So this taken from him, a rib, brought back, here's your glory. Praise God. That was presented. Isn't that wonderful? See, there it is. And that's what will be presented. Isn't that what all creation is groaning for right now? For the manifestation of the sons of God, amen? Those huios sons, those ones that are the full grown, mature, also known as the bride. And they will be what? Glorified together with him. How is the bride seen in Revelation 21? She descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. Praise God. She is the light of him. He is the light of her. It's just this, it's love. That's what it is. Praise God. And it's amazing. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. So we see this. He tells us this. And we see it even more. Praise God. So we see that the bride for Jesus will be taken out of, and remember that from last week, a specific rib, a choice rib, and presented as his all-glorious wife. Think about what it says in the Word of God, that he wants to present us a chaste virgin to Christ, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen? And we see that as we've rejoiced many times, we want that salvation with what? With eternal glory. Amen? To be that glory in the church for him. That's what we should be. And this is what this message does as it transforms our life for him. And again, this was all done when? How did all of this happen? When the body or the church or man, meaning saved man, was asleep. It's going on right now is what it's doing. Amen. This is not being preached very much. It's rare. Because the majority of Christianity today is asleep to it. That's where you launch right on over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And especially 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we went there last week. And you see that, you know, we're children of the light. We shouldn't be like them of the night that are asleep and drunken in the night. Why would he even say that? If you're children of the light and you're always awake, why would you even have a warning of not being asleep? You see that? That would have been unnecessary. If everybody was going to have the same resurrection and the same rapture moment and all of that kind of thing, why would you be warned, don't be asleep? And he tells you that's not who you are. But you can be asleep. And how are you asleep? when you're not awake in the things of God, when you're not alive, as Brother Paul talks about in chapter 4, those that are alive and remain. Alive isn't speaking of the remaining. Alive is a state of a heart that's in love, praise God, with Paul's gospel. That is alive, and then alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Amen? Because there's ones that have passed away, praise God, that were alive when they passed away. And they sleep, praise God, and they'll be raptured at that time. I always remember how Brother Hill would say, and you know, someday I'll be walking out here, Brother Copley said, let's go. I don't know if it'd be like that, but you know, we'll just believe the Lord. And but we'll be up there by the grace of God, by the grace of God. I hope to apprehend that. Amen. That's what we're pressing for, is that mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If by any means, as Brother Paul said, that out resurrection. Oh, did we just talk about the out resurrection? Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about that, because I think that's right here in line in just a moment. But see, this is what, how glorious this is, brothers and sisters. From him and of him. Verses 23 and 24 of chapter 2. And Adam said, this is now, now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And see, it's done. When she's taken out and presented to him, it's done. She is now. See, like now are we the sons of God? See, there's going to be that moment. It's done. It's over. That presentation is there and boom. Amen. Amen. See, isn't that going to be wonderful? So, and this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We have that in Ephesians 5. It's so marvelous because it just continues on with the bridal thought. Now again, when she is presented to him, she's no baby. She's not a baby. She's a full-grown woman. Matter of fact, it was kind of fun to read some of the commentaries on the different ones, speaking of Eve. Most beautiful woman that's ever lived. Well, I don't know, but should be, praise God, perfect in all of that regard. But I know who's going to be the most beautiful woman that's ever lived, the one that's alive right now and ready to marry Jesus. And I'll tell you what matters is in his eyes. Yep, she endures hardness as a good soldier. She might not be very pretty to this world, but I'll tell you what, she's stunning to him. And he gave it all to have her, praise God. And that's what matters, doesn't it? Amen. But she, it says here, will be that fully grown wife presented and ready for him. That's why the wife have made herself ready. Praise God. So it's not something, well, we get to heaven and grow into it. It's done. It's done here. This is where all of that happens. Praise God. All the transformation is going to be right here. And we need the word of his grace to do it. But she shall be called woman. Now, that word woman doesn't just mean of man, but that word woman actually means wife. So what was presented to him was wife. What was presented to him was woman married to man. She had to come out of him to be called woman. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. She had to come out of him to be called woman. I love that. She had to come out of him to be called wife. Isn't that exciting? See, it once again, that bride will be from that body. The bride will be from man, presented to the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We know that. So it's just wonderful to rest in that. So why was she called that? Now we're back to that out resurrection once again. Because she was taken out. See, isn't that something? That word, those two words there in verse 23, she was taken out of man. Now that word taken out, once again, these words are so powerful. It means seized, it means captured, it means even as lightning, also can be translated snatched away for marriage, out of man, out of the body to be a wife. It's marvelous, isn't it? Over and over, that same phrase, that same meaning, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you're going to find that meaning in the rapture. When those events happen, you're going to find those same encouragements of seized or captured or lightning or snatched away. You're going to find that with Elijah in 2 Kings. You're going to see that in the cherubim about the whirlwind in Ezekiel. That same word taken out, that if you will, the whirlwind. The out resurrection, Revelation, all of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's amazing, once again, how God continues to encourage us. He repeats it over and over and over. This is my truth. This is who you are. Be alive. Be awakened to it. Amen. 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 So I just have to tell you, the word of God, it just can't be more plain. Be ready. Be ready. And this is what he's doing with us tonight. He's causing us to be ready for him. Now, even more present for us right now in this wonderful thought of taken out. Therefore, shall a man leave his home? The Rebekahs, praise God for the same love. They shall leave theirs too. We go unto him. But you think about that word taken out, meaning seized and captured. Remember, Paul said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. When you're a prisoner of the Lord, a prisoner of the love of God, it takes you out. It does. It just takes you out. And as you grow on with it and go on with it, you almost don't even think about it anymore, how it takes you out. It just takes you out. You find yourself more and more, you're set aside for him. You're set apart. You're up in a cabinet in his room, and nobody's getting there. You know, that's my stuff. Don't touch my stuff. Every one of us has a place like that. Don't touch my stuff place. And that's what the wife for Jesus is. And I love that. I thank God. And sometimes I get a little bit weary, and oh my, you're in the cabinet of don't touch my stuff, son. There you go. So write that note down. Now, you think about what Christ left. Amen. Oh my, he left the throne. And as it says there in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave. Now, speaking of words, that word leave means forsaken. See, it's different than just leaving. It means forsaken. It means deserted. That word leave means completely alone. I think he's trying to really get at something, amen? What you mean to me. Don't ever think that you're not meaningful to God. You mean everything to God. This is what he did. This was everything he was about, praise God. And this is the plan of salvation on the cross. The joy that was set before him, and the fullness of that was the bride of Christ. That joy unspeakable for him. That was joy. That was joy to be made alone. That was joy to be forsaken. It was joy because, yes, for the Father, I'm going to bring many sons to glory. But I'm going to have my wife. I'm going to have her. And it says, and he shall cleave. Boy, how the Lord cleaves to us. Amen. Joined. But I love this. This word cleave means overtake her. Has the Lord overtaken you? Yes. Praise God. He brought us in here to hear this tonight. This is something that you rejoice in. He's overtaken you. Oh, yes, he has. I'm thankful. I couldn't run from him. He got me. And they shall be one flesh, a body out from the body of Christ. She is alone with him in glory as his readied wife. Once again, he'll present to himself the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That is glory for him in the church. Praise be to God. Now, I love how this kind of ends up here. And as we come to somewhat of a close here tonight, we'll wrap up. But it says in verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, he entered into this with her completely exposed. And you think about this with our Lord. And we're going to hear this again about being They were naked again, but this is going to be when they're out of the garden. When they're cast out of that garden, they're going to clothe themselves and then be cast out, but they realize that they're naked. There's an innocence right now. But I want you to think about this, how the Lord, what he was made for us, the shame that he took, the nakedness that he, the nakedness on the cross, the humiliation. My goodness. You talk about love, exposed together. The bridal love that we have with him. We glory in that infirmity. How about just as he was exposed on the cross, do we glory when we are shamed for Christ's sake? Huh? Or are we going to be like that guy that went through the service? Well, I went through there, not a one knew I was a Christian the whole time, huh? I pray to God that we wouldn't live our lives that way. And not that I have to put it out there, you just allow Christ to live in you and it'll be made known. But see, this is his rib, this is his glory, this is his side. I love that she was pierced with him in suffering. Once again, when that side was pierced or that rib portion was pierced, the water mingled with blood, that spirit and truth, the true worshiper, the lover of Jesus, that was exposed at that time. It was on the cross. They were there together. Just like that entrance into Jerusalem. Remember how he came upon that ass and he had the little colt with him. She was there, the king and the queen. It just, all of this metaphor, it's just so beautiful. He always sees us with him in that glory. Amazing how much he loves us. So, got to gather myself back or I'm going to float away. Now, let's get on to maybe the greatest type of Christ seen in Adam. And that's when Eve takes of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And we all, I believe, know that story. And I should say the tree of life. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's go over there. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, where are we here? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Even though Eve was deceived, and it was obvious that she disobeyed God's commandment not to eat, Adam was not deceived. He knew fully well what went down. He knew what he was doing. He knew she disobeyed God. He knew she was fallen, but he loved her. He loved her. And he would not live life without her. And he chose to enter into that same fallen state. He agreed to share the penalty of death with her because he loved her. I believe it's very evident that there was something that was very evident that went down, but somehow love overtook. And all of that self-preservation or whatever for Adam there might have been, I got to be with her. Whatever life I'm going to have left, I want to be with her. I mean, there's just such a passion, and you're thankful to God how this wasn't just a story, and this wasn't just for Adam. This was for us and what Jesus would be for us. And even more with our Lord in those seven steps down that he came. He didn't just share the fallen place. He took it for us. See, there's even more. That first man, but now this is the last man. Hallelujah. He entered into death for us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. How much did he love the church and desire the glorious church to come forth as his wife? Well, let's go on over to Ephesians and let's see how much he loved us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how much he loved us. And then from that love, go on over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Because he doesn't stop in that love in what he wants for us and with us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Now he gave himself for the church, just like, in a sense, Adam gave himself for Eve in this regard. But there was even more so here. Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Now, you seeing this with Adam again? It was taken out of Adam, this rib, so he could present it to himself. Do you see it? Now, wait a second, though. It was church, right? He loved the church, but he wants to present to himself a glorious church. The glory in the church. The bride who descends from heaven having the glory of God. See, it's there. He cares for it. But then what he wants is he wants something that has this glory. And how does the glory come? By the word of his grace, by the washing of the water, by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, completely set apart, and without blemish. That right there is speaking of the chaste virgin for Christ. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The love he had for Esther not only exceeded all the others, it was just a whole different ball game. To the point, honey, what's mine is yours. You're my glory. See it? Isn't this wonderful? So see how this wonderful transaction, praise God, and then what it all was for this wonderful wife. Now Jesus knew fully well, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the suffering, the shame for us. And as Adam here, he knows it's going to mean death for him. He knows that he's going to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, in a sense, from that face-to-face relationship that he had with God in that regard. But just as Jesus left heaven to become one of us, he did that because of love. Now, I want you to go back over to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 7, and now we're closing it up here. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know the Lord, he was tempted in all points for us. He was exposed. Completely. He was drawn in a way of nakedness for us that collectively was done for all of us. Individually, all of these different things. I think how amazing is his love for me. What a comfort he is to me knowing that he didn't just say, I'm going to make it okay. I've lived it. And now you have the power, praise God, in all of this intimacy that I was made man and lived this in sinless living for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't just tell us, but in this he showed us. And he showed us as man. That's all powerful. And through him we can do all things. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in case we go away here tonight, that we have any praise to Adam, I want you to know something. As much as he loved Eve, he was still a man. Okay? And here's how we know that he was still a man. in chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto Adam, Adam, where art thou? I think the Lord has a wonderful sense of humor. He knew exactly where Adam was. Where are you? Adam, where are you? Oh, my. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam was honest to a fault because he didn't even realize what he was saying. Man, I've just really exposed myself, haven't I? I love that. The Bible is very wonderfully funny. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now remember, this was the guy in love that knew what just went down. And he left. Honey, I love you. I'm going to die with you and all this. But then God's voice started coming out. And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Aren't you thankful that he is not your savior? He had great love to an extent to where it stopped. I'm not taking that blame, honey. You're going down, kind of. No, I'm just. But he blames the woman. Something our precious lover of our soul will never do. Because he took all the blame. His reply, there is no spot in thee. He's ravished to an extent that only the ages to come will reveal this exceeding grace and the exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness to us. Now finally, you know maybe that Adam dies at the age of 930. That's a pretty long life. But you know what? In the Word of God, it never speaks of Eve's death. Never does. And we know in the natural she died. But how wonderful. Adam entered into death with Eve, but Christ became death and sin for us, that whosoever believeth in him shall never die. And all I can say is, that's love, wouldn't you say? Amen? So praise God. And Lord Terry will be on to another glory for us. Amen? And I pray that we know that. Doesn't he make it rich and personal? I mean, this is ours. You. I believe the Spirit anointed us tonight that we rejoice together because that's what we have in Christ. And I thank God that in this fitly compacted, tightly knit joints of this rib portion body, we have a wonderful time rejoicing in the love of our bridegroom. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.